So our scripture passage today is from Luke chapter 11, verses 37 to 52. If you want to open your pew Bible, it's on page 846. If you brought your own Bible, Luke is in the gospel. So start at the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So Luke 11, 37. While he was speaking, a Pharisee invited him to dine with him. So he went in and took his place at the table. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? So give for alms those things that are within, and see everything will be clean for you. But woe to you, Pharisees! For you tithe mint and rue and herb of all kinds and neglect justice and the love of God. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love to have the seat of honor in the synagogues and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves and people walk over them without realizing it." One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us too." And he said, "Woe also to you lawyers, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not lift a finger to ease them. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your ancestors killed, so you are witnesses and approve of the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that this generation will be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be charged against this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we hit a crisis point in our road to resurrection today. So we're traveling through Jesus' words in the scripture. And the first one was given to us by God on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord said, "Listen to him." Right? And so here we decided we're going to listen to what Jesus had to say. And so, great, we're going to listen to Jesus' words. That's good to do. And then last week we heard Jesus say, "Ask, seek, and knock." And to believe how much more good gifts that Jesus, that God would give us, right? Great, great news. And here today, if we confess, these words are painful to listen to. These are hard words of Jesus. And if we're even more honest, we confess that in confrontations with Jesus, we experience transformation. They're catalysts for change, for significant growth. So who were the Pharisees and the experts of the law? They were the highly respected and influential religious leaders of the day. They were revered for their knowledge of the scriptures and passion for defending them, protecting every single word from corruption. The Pharisees and religious elite were seen by themselves in the community as the guardians of the truth, facilitators of the system, defenders of God's honor and glory, and gatekeepers of the kingdom of God. As the gatekeepers, however, they were offended and threatened by Jesus. They saw his ministry as a rebuke to their own and a danger to the sacred traditions of the community. Therefore, they pushed against him at every turn, emerging as his chief opposition, the greatest thing pushing against him throughout the Gospels, the Pharisees. And in this passage, we see Jesus pushing back, not to win an argument or to spark division, but to confront their hypocrisy. As gatekeepers, they slammed the door of the kingdom in people's faces, only to shut themselves out in the process. So in the midst of this mounting conflict, Jesus confronts the religious leaders. With a prophetic voice and with authority, he speaks out against the brokenness of the system. And this is where some of you get uncomfortable, some of us get uncomfortable, and wish we would move along to a more agreeable version of the King of the whole universe. More polite to his hosts at the table, walk in the line a little closer, more conciliatory and proactive in easing the awkwardness of the conversation. But he simply will not do that. Not Jesus, not our Lord. The French, he will not remain politely in the box. He cannot be counted on to say what we want to hear. The French philosopher Voltaire observed that after God made humanity in his image, we have tried to return the favor ever since. We certainly do this with Jesus, asking him to bend and mold into a culturally acceptable version of ourselves. A Jesus who thinks like us, believes like us, votes like us. A Jesus who values what we value, hate what we hate, and prioritize what we prioritize. A Jesus who baptizes our opinions and sanctifies truth and leaves our convictions unchallenged. But today's passage shatters our belief in such a one-dimensional version of Jesus. Others of us really like this confrontational Jesus with a rebel streak. We sit forward in our seats when we reach these passages, excited to see what he's going to say or do next. We cheer for him to throw off the conventional trappings of the system and confront the failures of the institution. More fire and brimstone, please. Bring on the woes. These leaders have it coming, but perhaps you like this version of Jesus because you think it gives you a pass to be confrontational and say whatever you are thinking in the moment, in the name of truth. I don't know about you, but that usually gets me into a little bit of trouble. The hard truth for us is that Jesus does not simply tell it like it is. He shows us how it should be. In this moment, he is calling out the warning of what not to do. Yet in his life is carving out the path of how we should live. If you want to speak the hard truth and tell it like it is, as Jesus does, then you also have to show us how it should be by living it out. Jesus confronts these gatekeepers who slam the door in people's faces because he, of course, is the gate himself and is still swinging the door wide for all. He counters their hypocrisy with his holy love. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus extending this compassion of the open door to the most unlikely roster of those who would be redeemed: the sinner, the tax collector, the ceremonially unclean, the women, the children, the adulterers, you name it, they are the outcasts, rejected, dangerous, and untouchable. Did you notice in the passage just before this that Jesus is teaching about the eye being the lamp of the body? So if we go back just before this passage in Luke 11, it's all about the eye being the lamp of the body. It's all about how our light is to grow within us and the darkness to clear out in our whole body. So we even see Jesus extending his embrace to his enemies. This is true light, which sparks a perilous question for us in this passage. Who are Jesus' enemies in the Gospels? Who are the people most opposed to him? Who is secretly plotting against him, attempting to discredit him, publicly undercutting him? The Pharisees, of course. Then it starts to dawn on us. The Holy Spirit opens our minds and hearts to see that Jesus even opened the door of the kingdom to them. Our memory returns to one of the earliest Bible verses that we ever learned or were ever exposed to. We remember that moment when the astounding truth was spoken. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. And in what context are these words spoken? In Jesus' secret meeting with Nicodemus, a Pharisee, afraid of what others might say, yet drawn to what Jesus has been saying. Nicodemus comes to him under the cover of darkness and seeks the truth and finds that the gate has not been slammed shut but flung wide open, even for a Pharisee. And then we see today's words in a fresh light. We realize that this confrontation is actually compassion. It's an attempt to shake them awake, shock them out of their slumber, and shed light on the open door. This thought upsets us. We don't like the thought of Jesus showing compassion to a hypocritical Pharisees. They represent everything that was wrong with the religious system of their day, and it's easy for us to draw a straight line of inheritance to the many leaders who have taken up their mantle in our time. We don't want Jesus to show compassion to the hypocrites until his voice whispers in our hearts, "Of course you do. Because if you slam the door on the hypocrites, you will be slamming the door on the kingdom on yourself." These words send the familiar shudder of conviction down the spine and draw the familiar prayer of words, the familiar prayer of repentance up from the soul. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. What about you? Whom do you need to confront in a new spirit of compassion? Whose confrontation do you need to receive in a spirit of compassion? Do you need to resign from your post as gatekeeper and instead take up the new role of door holder? Who will you invite in? Remember, he is the gate and he swings the door wide open. For hypocrites too. I, for one, am thankful for that. Would you pray with me? Most holy and gracious and merciful God, we thank you and praise your holy name for your words, conflicting, convicting, challenging, and compassionate. Lord God, we ask that we would hear each and every one of the words that you speak to us, that you would shine light on what we need to see and what we need to hear. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving, who are weak, who are ill. We pray, God, that you would lift them, that you would bring healing, that you would bring the touch of grace that they need. Lord Jesus, we pray for peace that goes beyond understanding and compassion. Lord, we pray for our church today, local and worldwide. The global church, Lord, the holy Catholic and apostolic church. Lord, we lift up your believers. We lift up those that do not yet know you. We ask for ways to be paved that we could share the wonderful news of who you are and how you have transformed our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray the prayer that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I invite our ushers forward for this morning's offering. You are so loved by the Father. So loved by the Father. And everything he does and says is out of compassion and love for you and for those that your lives touch. So receive that grace, receive that compassion, receive that hope and that glory and that love. Be changed by it. and go out into the world and share it with others. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon podcast from the United Methodist Church of Mount Vernon, Iowa. For more of our podcast series and information on services, outreach, and Christian education, visit us online at www.umcmv.com. We hope you will continue listening to a portion of our ministry through these podcasts.